Today's scripture is from John 21:15-17. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Eternal God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today is our second week in our Easter series on living the resurrection, where we are looking at people who experienced the resurrection of Jesus firsthand and how the reality of the resurrection changed their lives. We're doing this because we believe that the resurrection of Jesus is a reality that has impact for everyone who follows Jesus or claims the name of Christ. By looking at their stories and how their lives changed, we can begin to see the power of the resurrection and the ways that the risen Jesus changes our own lives. Last week, we looked at Mary Magdalene and how the resurrection showed her the power of Jesus. For Mary, the reality of the resurrection was more powerful than the grief, the despair, and the anxiety that she carried. We also learned from Mary the importance of sharing our own experiences with Jesus, with others. We all owe our own knowledge of the resurrection to Mary Magdalene and her initial witness to the disciples about the risen Christ. Today, we turn our attention to Simon Peter. Of all the disciples, we probably know the most about Simon Peter, from his background as a fisherman who worked with his brother and father to his calling as a disciple, and his many moments of faith, as well as some of the blunders he made along the way. You see, it was Simon Peter who had the faith to step out of the boat and onto the water when he saw Jesus walking on water and Jesus beckoning him. It was an incredible act of faith. But it was also Simon Peter who looked down while already walking on the water, was filled with fear and began to sink. It was Simon Peter who correctly identified Jesus as the true Messiah, the Son of God, but it was also Simon Peter who Jesus had to say, "Get behind me, Satan." It was Simon Peter, along with James and John, who witnessed the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountaintop, but it was also Simon Peter who fell asleep that night in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus went to pray prior to his arrest. Do you see the pattern here? Do you get the idea? Simon Peter is the one who Jesus called the rock. That's why we call him Simon Peter. The rock in Greek is Petros, Peter. But it is also Simon Peter who denies even knowing Jesus 3 times in one night. I've always thought of Simon Peter as a man of incredible faith, but he was also the kind of person who acts now, thinks later, if at all. He was passionate. He was ready to do things, even before he understood what those things were. There was no doubt that Peter loved Jesus and was devoted to him. And yet, that night, he still fell short. And there was probably no one more keenly aware of his shortcomings than Peter himself. I want you to imagine for a moment what it must have been like for Peter, beginning that night in the garden. And we're going to begin after the prayer debacle where Jesus prays and the disciples all fall asleep and he comes back. Why are you sleeping? Right? So there's already a little bit of maybe tension happening. And Judas shows up in the garden with the guards to betray Jesus. And those guards are going to arrest Jesus. And Peter, he goes into fight mode. Have you heard of people having fight or flight mode? I think Peter was all fight. He's going to stand and fight for whatever he believes is right. And so in that mode, he cuts off the ear of one of the guards that is there with Judas. Because he's trying to defend Jesus. He's going to try to get Jesus out of the situation. He's going to create a distraction. I'm going to do this. Jesus, take off running. But Jesus doesn't run. Instead, Jesus heals the guard. Jesus is letting this happen. He's letting himself be taken away. I don't think Peter understands why. Peter and John follow along. They're at a little distance, but they never lose sight of Jesus, probably wondering what is going on. Why isn't Jesus stopping this? And probably trying to come up with some plans for how to get Jesus out of it, to get him to escape. And the guards, they take Jesus to Annas, the father-in-law of the high priest, Caiaphas. Now, John, in whatever his previous life was known to the high priest. He must have had some big connections. And so he goes in with Jesus to be a witness to whatever conversation is about to happen. But Peter, he stays out until John comes out and talks to the guard at the gate of the house to says, let Peter in as well. And the person at the gate looks at Peter and says, you are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? He's there with John. Remember, John has just vouched for him. John has come back out to get Peter. And when Peter was asked if he was a disciple along with John, Peter says, I am not. Now it was a chilly night. And outside of the home within the gate, there was a charcoal fire. And people were standing around it trying to keep warm. And so Peter heads over there to keep warm as well. And he's standing around waiting to find out what's going on with Jesus, to hear the news about the questioning. And people are standing around the fire and someone addresses him and says, are you not also one of his disciples? And again, Peter denies it. I am not. Now, around that same fire, there was a relative. This is one of those small world instances. There was a relative of the guard whose ear was cut off, who actually happened to be in that same group of soldiers in the garden. And that person was standing around the charcoal fire as well. They said, didn't I see you in the garden with him? Now, if this person had just, again, their cousin's ear had just been cut off and then miraculously reattached by Jesus. It's a pretty memorable event. And so it's pretty reasonable that this person remembers who cut off their relative's ear. And they say, did I not see you in the garden with him? And it was at this point, the third time, that Peter denies it. And right then, right in that moment, the cock crowed. Just as Jesus had predicted earlier that evening. Jesus had told Peter that Peter would deny him three times, and Peter couldn't accept it then. How he was ready to go to death for Jesus. But now it had happened. Now we don't have a record of what Peter did from this point, from this moment of the third denial until Easter morning, when we find him again with John. But can you imagine how he felt? He was the rock. He was the most faithful. He was the most willing to die for Jesus. And in the darkest moments of Jesus' life, he bailed. Peter wasn't the one to run away, and yet he did. And now Jesus was dead. I cannot imagine the depths to which Peter sank in that knowledge. The morning of the resurrection, Mary Magdalene runs to him and to John to say that the body is missing. Peter runs and sees for himself that Jesus' body is no longer there. At this point, he doesn't know that it's because of the resurrection. Along with Mary, he believes that the body has been taken. But then he starts to hear stories. We have to wonder, does Peter have the confidence at this point that even if Jesus resurrected, that Jesus would want anything to do with him now? He's messed up so badly. He doesn't deserve the name the Rock. He sees himself as anything but reliable at this point. And so he goes back to fishing. Maybe it's out of defeat. Maybe to just try to get his bearings in light of everything that's happened. But I wonder, have you ever felt this way? The way Peter feels in this moment. Have you ever felt like you have messed up so badly that even Jesus won't want anything to do with you? Perhaps in those moments you feel like there is nothing you can do to make right all the things that have gone wrong. And if you've ever felt that way, I want you to hear that you are in good company in Simon Peter. Remember how I started by sharing the stories of Simon Peter's time as a disciple. This is not the first time that he has messed up. This is not the first time that he has made a mistake or acted brashly without thinking or gotten something wrong. But Jesus always kept him around. Not only that, Jesus always kept him as part of his inner circle. You see, Jesus always knew who Peter was. Jesus even told Peter what would happen that night. But Jesus doesn't tell him at that point, "So you get away from me, because this will be at the end of our relationship, the end of this friendship." Even, you have to understand that even after Jesus tells Peter, "You're going to deny me tonight," three times, he still asks Peter to go with him to the garden to pray. Jesus has always known who Peter is. Jesus has always known his strengths and his flaws. Jesus saw Simon Peter for who he was, mistakes and all, and loved him. It was Peter who did not see himself clearly. And it's Peter who is in need of reconciliation with Jesus. Again, not because Jesus doesn't love him. I think it's very clear that Jesus does love him. And it's not because he needs to earn himself back into Jesus' good graces. Again, he never left. But it's because Peter doesn't love or believe in himself anymore. He only sees his failure. He only sees the ways in which he let not only himself down, but the ways he believes he let Jesus down. And so we get this incredible story. It's very poetic. Jesus called Peter early on to be a disciple when Peter was out fishing on a boat. Peter had been out on the boat all night and they hadn't caught anything, and Jesus was on the shore and said, "Cast out your nets again." And Peter does for some reason, and their nets are full, and Peter in that moment decides to follow Jesus. And now we have the same situation. Peter had been out all night on the boat. They hadn't caught anything. And Jesus calls from the shore once again, "Lower your nets." Peter's not dumb. He understands who this is. He lowers his nets once again, and once again they are teeming, full of fish. And Peter, being so excited that he's getting another chance, he actually dives out of the boat and starts swimming to shore. I am guessing much to the chagrin of everyone else on the boat going, "He just left us with all these fish." But Peter swims to shore and meets the resurrected Jesus there. But Jesus isn't done yet. He has recalled Peter, but Peter needs more. Peter needs the assurance of forgiveness. So Jesus makes a charcoal fire, the same fire that Peter was standing around only a few nights earlier. And three times, the same number of denials, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Again, remember, Jesus knows the answer. He's doing it for Peter. Peter responds, "You know that I do." And then Jesus gives Peter a chance to undo what has been done, to declare his devotion once again and to start fresh. You may think that you have things in your past that Jesus cannot forgive or accept. But if Jesus forgives Peter, Jesus will forgive you too. You may think that there are things that are so broken that they can never be mended, but there is hope in Christ. And Christ will meet you where you are. Jesus goes to where Peter is and does what Peter needs to be reconciled. And he will do that for you so that you can believe in the forgiveness offered to you. Now, there's one more thing I want us to take away from this story of Simon Peter. And that is, in his reconciliation, in his rededication to Jesus, there comes a mission. For Simon Peter, living with the resurrection came with a purpose. He is to feed the sheep. He is to tend the flock. He is to care for God's people. It is Peter who establishes the church to continue the work of Jesus' ministry. Our new life in Christ comes with it the hope and expectation of participating in the kingdom of God now, of living into a life where we work to make earth like heaven, where we have love and compassion for others and work against injustices and oppression. Peter's reconciliation led him to truly living into his name as the rock on which Christ would build his church. Peter became the first leader of Christ's church. And God has a purpose for you as well. Living the resurrection means more than just a personal reconciliation with God. That is a start, but it is a life of service and purpose that God has called you to. I hope and pray that we will be a church who lives out our vision and mission in light of the resurrection, to be a church of hope, of healing and belonging, that loves and serves all through Christ our Lord, just as Peter had done and just as Christ calls us to do. Amen.